please. Okay. Okay, we're interviewing Ginger Stephen Ambrose on October 10th, 2024. This is Baron Camperman. So we're talking about your early life. Can I call you Ginger?
Yes, let's do that.
So, talking about your early life, and these are the kinds of questions. So, what year, and your birth date, and where did you grow up, brothers, your family, basically, you know? And what was high school like, your first job, and careers? Mm-hmm. Okay, so, where would you like to start? How was your birth date?
Yeah? I was born July the 10th, 1949. Island.
Oh yeah.
I have a twin brother.
Do ya?
His name is Stuart.
Still around?
Oh yes, lives in Fairview.
Wonderful. Brothers and sisters? Just the one brother?
Just the one brother.
Okay. And how did your parents feel about your development, you know, or did that take time?
That took time, didn't it?
Yeah. Do you think it was a good atmosphere for you to grow up in your family?
Oh, yeah, good. My mom worked, my father worked.
Yeah?
You know. Mm-hmm. They argue like most married people.
Yeah. What kind of jobs did they have?
My mother worked as a waitress.
Uh-huh.
And she always cleaned by the day and she looked after 50. Yeah.
Did you have foster children in the house?
No. I had a few, yes.
Let's talk about your job history then. When you're a young guy and you're going out into the world, what kind of jobs did you do, good and bad?
Well, I first started working when I was 11. I was with my grandma. I wasn't 11, I was 13.
Yeah.
I looked after my grandmother's rooming house. I used to do the garbage and clean, you know.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. So I've been working ever since I was, since 12.
Yeah. What about when you first got a salary?
Well, I was about 16 when I went to work at St. Vincent's Guest House.
Did you? The one over here?
On Wind District.
Yeah, still there.
I was house cleaning.
Uh-huh.
And then I ended up doing nursing. Really? I spent more time with the patients, you know. Residents, excuse me.
Yeah, sure.
They call them residents now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least they don't call them clients anymore.
No. They used to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So did you have other jobs or something?
No, just that one for a while. And, took work duties at home, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you stayed at home, so I take it the family was in Halifax at that point.
Yes, we were in Halifax then, yeah. We came to Halifax in August of 62.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember the date, but it was 62.
Which neighborhood?
We lived on Hollis Street.
Hollis Street?
Still then. Yeah. Hollis and Bishop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go right to drag, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a bunch of questions, but you can decide what you want to tell us. You know, like, tell us about the beginning, like, when you first got into it.
I thought it was a drag when I started going to the turret on Barrington Street, which was in the Keeler building.
Yeah.
On the
what, year,
floor.
What year?
1976.
Oh.
Yeah. That's when the gay clubs were officially noticed then.
Yeah.
Prior to that, we had ones that weren't even, they weren't, people knew about them, but they weren't advertised, you know.
Tell me about some of those clubs that we don't even know about.
Well, I went, the first club was on Lower Water Street,
Boston,
which is the Baton Rouge Club, now the old Morris Tea Factory.
Yeah.
The building's gone. So I went from there, after trouble with the 13th Tribe,
really?
What
kind of trouble?
Well, they knew it was a gay club, but
yeah,
they also knew that the three owners wouldn't let the lesbians in.
Oh.
And Ken Parker said, no, they're not coming in. We argued, well, they are. They're lesbians. They're gay like we are, you know.
Yeah.
But he was against it, so Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it was several months, even 3 or 4 months. They broke. The 13th tribe came after it. And our club was on the third
floor. I wonder why they stuck up for the lesbians.
Well, they said, well, they were gay. They had a right to be just all homosexual.
What year was that?
It was 76.
Oh,
yeah, 76 it was. Yeah, early part of 76.
Did you ever go to some kind of dodgy bars before that, before you knew this?
No, but after that, I knew where all the after-hours bars were.
Yeah,
they were after-hours, all right, and they were scary.
They could be. I've been to a few.
Oh, yeah. You know, the one last one, I was the first and last one, we used to be on... Argyle TV was on Godding Street, and then you go around the back to the Maynard Street. When you went in, if you paid your admission, they gave you 2 flashlights and a can of rat poison. That's the rats. Yeah. So you don't know who you were seeing naked. The rats are the people. Well, you saw most of the people naked, but you learn quick. You don't have to go to school to learn about the male anatomy.
So, what was it like in the early days of the church for you?
Oh, the church was wonderful. Because, see, when I came back from London, Ontario, London, we had a building and everybody could take part. If you knew how to be a carpenter or paint and wallpaper, we did all that, and that's what we did with the church. We have a lot of fun, you know.
So you belonged to kind of a club in London?
I was in gay clubs. Well, one gay club in London, they bought a building, you know.
What was the name of it?
I can't remember now, but prior to that,
the Halo Club.
We used to go, no, I can't remember. We used to go to the university every second Saturday in London, Ontario. I didn't live far from there, but, you know. But I was a lot thinner then. I had a lot of dates.
Yeah.
I had 2 lovers after me, by the way, on the dance floor. So, well, help yourself. You know, I guess we're all slutty in our own way.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
So how long were you in London?
I lived there for 2 years. Mm. And I tell you, only for my health, I'd go back there tomorrow.
Really?
And this is city of all the cities of Ontario, this is the one I really like. I learned more about up there too, about gay life. And
Did you learn more about the art of drag?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of things?
Well, I met he had a show on TV. He's dead now, Drag Queen.
No,
but I met him in London, and he told me that Mae West was the one that taught him how to do drag, because he used to live with her.
Oh.
He made a movie of them on TV. There was 2 of them, series 1, series 2. I can't remember, but yeah.
Oh, if it comes up, then you just... Don't be shy to mention. You know?
But it showed how, you know, he was in Toronto and how people, you know, his friends were gay, but in Toronto, people were very cold and distant towards gay people.
Yeah.
You know. Craig Russell.
Craig Russell.
I met Craig Russell.
Oh, legend.
Yeah. I'm saying he died early, you know.
Yeah.
But
did he teach you some things?
Well, he just said, you know, you've got to believe in yourself, and if that's what you are, and that's what you want, he said, you know. Then he asked me about female operations. I said, no, I'm not into none of that. I had a friend here in Halifax that he was one of the first.
Oh, yeah.
Had the sex change, and they didn't have the technology like they have now.
Yeah.
So his name was Jackie. That was his drag name.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know, go on with you believe in, you know, what you want to do, you know.
Sure.
You know, I said, well, I'm not changing my body just to, you know, a man can't accept the way I am. Well,
sure.
But as years went on, I had friends that were lovers and very good friends of mine. But it got too confusing because one was supposed to be the husband, one was supposed to be the wife, and they were both going in drag, and that didn't go with me even today because, you know, I said, well, no, you're supposed to be the male one, not supposed to be the feminine one, but, you know, yeah, and it is confusing to me.
Right.
Other people think it's hilarious. I don't let it know because to me, when I did drag and I learned, and I learned how to dress properly and everything else. But when you see, when I see the drags today, they really did, they disgust me.
Really?
The memorial, a lot of them, and being on TV, and a lot of drag when you don't dress like that.
Yeah.
You know, you want to look nice, you want to look feminine, you know, attractive, but some of the hairdos and all that.
What do you think of the RuPaul drag show?
Don't care about it.
No. Two different.
It's two, yeah, because, you know, to me, the phone of the portion, my husband's resorting, because it's just making, well, it's a money racket.
You know. What about costuming? Did you learn a lot about sewing?
Well, I had all my clothes tailor-made.
Really?
And my mom used to go shopping with me, and my mom used to buy some very nice dresses, and I ended up wearing them, and she ended up giving them to me because she said, they look better on you than they me, what the hell's going on?
So she was your ally?
My mother was very open.
Wonderful.
And my relatives, you know, my father at first couldn't accept that I was gay, and my mom said, well, you accept her, you know, that's part of his life, you know.
Yeah.
You can't be what you want to be, you know.
Yeah.
And my mother said, well, what did you want to be? She said, and marry me. My mother was very outspoken, and you don't have that today.
Yeah.
You know, you more or less tell her, say this, say that. No, but if you feel something, and you know it's not right, you speak up.
Yeah.
I do.
Good.
And the people tell me, well, they annoy me, I just tell them, fuck off. And I go book me business. Well, not that I do it every day, I mean, you know.
Sure, yeah.
But also now as you get older, well, my friends have passed on, personal reasons, other reasons, medical reasons. But as you get older today, the older generation, especially the women, not all gay women, they're very cold and nasty towards you.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've had a lot of trauma in their life. Well, as I told three the other day, to go fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were rude. They were ignorant and they were demeaning.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Were these lesbians or queens?
Well, no, I don't know. They go to
calm down, guys.
They go to Spencer House.
Hey.
What?
Never mind.
Oh. Yeah. So, no, don't worry about that. Yeah.
Who's that?
She's on the phone.
Oh.
Was that recently or?
In the last 2 years. I've been a member of Spencer House 2 years.
Yeah.
And these people, you know, they go there every day, which is a very nice place to be. Not because of your sexual orientation.
Right, yeah.
But it's a nice place to be.
Yeah, I've been there, yeah.
The director, yeah, I love it. You know, it's my second home. Because when I went there, where I was living, I lost my will to live. Because where I was being, you know, attacked. My foster sister opened Spryfield. This was April of last year, 2023, April 11. She attacked me.
Oh.
She did it three times. And the third time, I almost died because of, you know, and I'm in a wheelchair now, but I'm still fighting in court, you know, when I get it in there, but I'm not letting her get away with it. Because I don't walk like I used to. You know, and dance, but I have to hold on to everything. People think you're drunk. Well, that's another story, but, you know.
Yeah.
But it changes your life, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, going back to drag, did you mind getting your picture taken?
No.
No? And have you got some collections left of your
pictures? I had pictures, but I got rid of all of them, you know.
Yeah.
But I obviously want to know I'm over on Facebook at Spencer House, because I get over there carrying on and laughing, you know.
Good.
But I have a card upstairs that I got from Brittany. It was a Christmas card, and what she wrote on it, I must find it, you know, because she said, Ginger, she said, you liven up this place. She said, I don't know you very well, because she said, I've only been here a short time, but she said, you liven this place up, because with your stories and the way you live and care. Well, I enjoy life, you know.
Yeah.
And there's my friend over there, Sandra, which I met just a few months ago.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've known her all my life.
That can happen,
you know?
Yeah.
And if I need her, I just call her, you know.
Yeah.
And she leaves her phone on for me, I hope. But no, she's my buddy.
Great,
you know?
Great.
She wanted to be my personal care worker, but she is too, as far as not to a point, but the rest, like my, you know.
Yeah.
But no, she's my friend, but she's also my, my neighbor. She lives on the fourth floor.
Uh-huh.
No, because she's honest.
Yeah.
And I have no worries. She don't steal or anything. And that means a lot to a person, a gay person, you know. It's bad enough your lover steals you, but not her, you know.
Back then in those drug days, did you have a few bad roommates?
I've always lived on my own.
Oh.
Yeah, and then one fellow was a roommate, and then, you know, he was engaged to my foster sister. Then I came home one night. He was naked. I said, excuse me. He said, well, I want you. I said, well, I don't want you. You please get dressed and get out. And he was good looking, you know.
Yeah.
But I said, no, you belong to somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be with her. And I said, well, you better hurry up, because if not, I'm going to punch in your mouth.
Mm.
Even though I do drag and act like a lady, I can be. You got to learn how to defend yourself, you know. But I'm not a violent person, never was.
Yeah.
I'm very easy going, but if you take me off, the famous word, fuck off. My mother used to say that.
Really?
That's going to be on your headstone, fuck off. I said, well, if you piss me off, I'll tell you fuck off too.
Sure.
But my mother and I have, you know, yeah, that's the way Sandra and I are. We laugh and carry on, you know. We don't listen to the people in here. You know.
Okay, let's talk about, you know, your concept of and experience about the drag community. Like,
oh, I love.
Do you think it's a community? Are you happy with the community? Has it changed a lot?
Changed a lot over the years, but it's not like the old days, when we got over the rough spots. Because everybody stayed together, you know.
Yeah.
They looked out for one another. Today, the young gays today, they just seem old. They wouldn't have gay clubs today had it been for me or other my other friends, you know.
Yeah.
Because there was a time when you walked down Spring Garden Road, you got past the library, which is now closed, without getting hit or bed up. Because they were called bag beavers.
Yeah.
And they were watching for you, you know.
Would you be in drag occasions like
that? Oh, I was in drag, yeah, but they never bothered me for some reason.
So you
had I had a flat on Kent Street years later, and the man downstairs was now passed away, him and his wife, they used to go to the club with me every now and then. He said, well, I got a maid. Here I am with two beautiful women. And his wife said to me, Ginger, I learned so much from you. She said, not because you live upstairs, but she said, you also taught my husband a lot of lessons.
Yeah.
I said, what did I do? She said, you taught him how to respect. But you did it properly. I said, well, yes. You don't scream and yell at nobody.
Mm.
You know, I've done it before. My nursing and my Army career. I was in the Army.
Were you? What years?
I went to London. And
so that's how it ties in with London, and military service.
I was in London. I was here to 71, 72.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but the Army, they teach you.
Yeah.
They teach you how to keep your life, your work, but also your private life in order.
Really?
Yeah, and it works, you know. They're wonderful, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I worked at other hospitals and up in London, you know.
Now, is there such a thing as, like, drag mothers and drag daughters?
They had them down here, but I never met them.
Yeah.
Well, what to call them? Craig Russell was classified.
Yeah.
Or he was an older, you know. But he, when he did drag, like even though he imitated the singer,
yeah,
but he knew how to dress in it because Mae West taught him.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice to meet her, but I mean the poor soul. But, you know, and he spoke very highly of her, you know. And he was the same way when he was in drag, he was like that when he wasn't in drag.
Oh, yeah.
And this is years later, I met another friend of mine, Rachel. Rachel used to go to the Turk, you know. It was the Turk then, and then there was studios, and then later on came Reflection. And Rachel and I, we used to party a lot with her boyfriend, her husband.
Yeah.
But Rachel, one night, I said, I met Rachel since I said, at the church, I said, who the Jesus taught you to do drag? Anyway, what do you mean? I said, well, you don't look proper. I said, people are telling you look nice, but I'm telling you not. Because what you wear, I said, you look like a goddamn worm from the war.
Oh.
So we became very good friends, and after that, I taught him how to do, you know, big up man. And he was wonderful. So, I forget where, I lived on the corner of Stoke Park and Clyde Street. And one morning, 7:30, banging at the door, here it was Rachel. Girl dropped them off. I said, okay, so we're going to have a girl's date. And we went out and we had our drinks and we talked and things like that. And then I told him what to do and not what to do to help you with, so you wouldn't have conflict with your with her. Earl was a very nice man. Earl was very good to me.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he said, so when he come to pick Rachel up, he said, Ginger, he said, I can't believe it. He said, Rachel's over with you all afternoon. He did your girl thing, but he's still, but he's pleasant and he's, you know, helpful. And I just told him, I said, well, if you're not going to be like that, well, then Earl's not going to respect you.
Yeah.
You're only pushing him away.
Of course.
And I said, if you love somebody, not just being gay, but in the straight world, if you push your partner away, you know, because you got to get to know one another.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And years ago, well, today, majority of the homosexuals, they just jump in bed to have a quick sex with you, that's all.
Yeah, I agree with you, yeah.
And then they talk about your dick. If I was a nurse, I'd see a lot of dicks.
You know? Not a surprise.
They all do the same thing, you know. But
did your sense of how to do makeup change over the years?
I wore very little makeup.
Yeah.
I used to wear a wig, but then I did, but I never wore wigs then, but not when I go, well, I wore hairpiece, you know, sometimes I just go with my own hair, you know.
Yeah.
And my last boyfriend, which I've had for 38 years, I met him at Rumors. Well, I knew him at the church, but I didn't know who he was, but I'd seen him around, you know.
Yeah.
And I was there one night, and we were at Rumors, and we did a show in October, called Oktoberfest. Tommy Miller was in it, who's now passed on.
Yeah.
And I came out, did my numbers, and this gentleman was sitting there. He said, I'll move. I said, you don't have to move. And I said, would you like to have a beer? Tommy made a comment. I told him, mind your business, Tommy. And he told me his name. He said, my name is Jack. You know, well, his real name was John Stewart, but excuse me. He used to call, we called him Tex.
Oh.
And then Tex and I were together for 38 years.
Mm.
He was always leaving me.
Oh.
And I said, well, if you can't find yourself now, you're not going to find yourself later on. But, you know, the door is there. I'm not stopping you, you know.
Mm.
You know, and that's the thing I found even when I was younger and as I got older and older. People that are together, one is too possessive. You can't be possessive.
No.
You know, you got to understand, you know.
They want their freedom too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I have a Norm's his name, and it's developed into a relationship, right, because he was my volunteer for about 2 months.
Hmm.
And they stopped all the volunteer at the hospital society, so we continued on. But you can tell it's going into a relationship, you know.
Did you know Randolph Kennedy?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah. How did you know him? What did you guys do?
He used to go to the club. He worked at the turn on Barrington Street.
Yeah.
There was him and Iris, and there was Red Shaw.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I tell you.
Yeah,
but, you know, now they have the Rumors now, which is nice. But if they could find, like, even pictures or film of the, you know, the church or the Rumors, you could see, you know, the difference.
Well, sure, you can't recreate the whole thing.
There was Fred, who was the manager at Rumors, because Rumors used to be on Granville Street, which was private office. We called the office at one time.
I remember,
And then every time Fred used to say, now Iris or Randy, Tex comes in here and he acts up. Don't say nothing to him. Just call Ginger. Ginger will take care of it.
Good idea.
So I'd come and I'd sit at the end of the bar and I wouldn't say nothing. And he'd be going because he was after the young stuff. And I'd say, well, you make up your mind because you're not doing that to me. And he'd turn around and he'd freeze right in the spot. And he told people, he said, you know, that he said, I love the man very dearly. And he said, you know, and then as he got older, he got sick. And and he told friends of ours when we lived in Dartmouth that he said, I wouldn't be alive hadn't been with Ginger. Mm. So he decided to go away. That's 5 years ago. He went to Manitoba.
Oh.
He said, I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah.
Only where I'm going is when it's my time to die, I'll die, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I didn't go, and, you know, and I called him, but and then he decided he was going to have a romance with a woman up in Russell. What's your business? Goodbye.
Yeah.
And then he thanked me for everything, and then shortly after that he died. Because
wow.
I was going to go home, go and get him, bring him home, and look after him.
Yeah.
Well, I was with him for 38 years.
Sure. Yeah.
I knew, you know, well, you do. You know, you get to know your partner. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes your partner trying to get to know you, but you know, that's another story. But then, in a nice way.
Yeah.
And my doctor said, no, they said, Ginger, no, because you'll be gone, and he'll, you know. But then he had a stroke, and so he was a very well. He was from Brookfield. He was a country man.
Yeah.
And like the song says, Loretta Lynn. Loretta Lynn was my favorite singer,
uh-huh.
and every song she sang was true.
Uh-huh.
You know, don't come home a drink and all that. Well,
mm-hmm.
and he was a country man. He had a hard time with city life.
Uh-huh.
And of course, he was bisexual too. And I said,
yeah.
Well, and there was a time. This was when we were at the LBR, which was the what was now Oasis.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had, we were so, he said, I got a few fines to pay. I said, well, we'll go pay them and I'll wait for you, you know. So he went, he had to go to bed factful. So I knew after 4 hours something was wrong. So I called and I got through to the jail up there, which is now gone. And they were keeping them overnight because they paid. So I said, okay, I'll pay the fines and come up. And so I went out. It was just like being in a movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're here to get your, that song, I'm here to get my man out of jail. So when I paid the fine and they released him, they knew all of it, you know, and they whistled, the men all whistled, and Jesus, Ginger, could any more of you, because Matt, you come here to get your man out of jail, I thought he's my husband too. And a lot of these men were straight.
Yeah.
But they treated him with respect, and you know, and Tex, is that we call him, he never forgot that, you know, he said, Jesus, is there anywhere that I go with you that you don't know anybody? I said, well, it's just my hair here. And he knew, he was a hairdresser.
Hmm.
He's not here now, he's in PEI.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
He'll come to you.
I should know his name. I should drive around with him in his car. Isn't that funny? He was my hairdresser, too.
It'll come to you, it'll come to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Kitty, Miss Kitty.
I've heard that name,
yeah, that's the name we went by. And Miss Kitty was someone that people, they were scared of.
Oh.
They were going to be scared of. Just tell them where to go, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got along very well with Kitty.
Yeah.
And then we come to do the show at the Dunn. Drag show.
Oh, yeah.
I was still living on Soap Park and Clyde Street.
Mm.
And there was about 10 of us. So I went up, we did our, see if everything was okay. So then I came home and then I had a little rest. Then I got up and I had a funny feeling something was going wrong.
Yeah.
So I went back up to the Dunn Theater. When I got up there, there was Rachel. And Tommy Miller, they were arguing with the director.
Oh.
And George Kennedy.
Hmm.
I said, listen, what are you guys doing? I said, he's the director. He can cancel this whole show. We're putting the show on for some charity, you know.
Yeah.
We sold tickets and that, you know. And Emerald was there. You know.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. I said, you want to grow up and act like adults, you know.
Yeah.
Never mind your sex crazy talk or drag talk. So anyway, the director said to me, he said, Ginger, if I had a bucket, I'd throw up. Well, I said, you know what? I'm going to tell you one thing. When I get to tell these birds off, we do our show with your permission, you're going to regret what you said. So I told them, little bastards, you better fuck off because I went through all the expense getting my outfits. Well, I said, well, I said I'm one of the parts, I'm one of the older girls here, not get a rest. So we did our show. My mom was there, and we sold out the place.
Wow.
That was at Sir Dunn at Dalhousie.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went had our party and went over to Lord Nelson. We were at the ballroom. My mom was having a ball.
Excellent.
I said, yeah. She said, geez, I'm getting drunk. She said, fur coats and diamond rings. I said, we're fussy, Mom. Anyway, Admiral said to me, and Reg Dow was there, Ginger, there's a car downstairs waiting for you. I said, well, Jesus, I'm not doing any men tonight. I'm tired. He said, no, you got to go back to the Dunn if you want. People are over there plotting, waiting for you to go back to sing to, because they did all the Redolins
on. Oh.
You know, don't come home and drinking, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, over I went. And I was there for another 2 hours.
Wow.
And I sang, and I don't have the outfit. I had on a pant outfit that my mom had made, and it was all black sequins, silver, and I had no shoes. I had no shoes on.
Yeah.
I'm half drunk, but okay. But those memories, you know.
Wonderful.
You don't need a camera and all that as long as you got up here.
Right.
But that's the way drag should be.
Yeah.
Anyway, then the director, before we left the dump, he come back, he said, Ginger, I owe you and all you people apology. Because he said, you did put on a show. I said, well, we girls give it all out of the hand, you know. We can't help ourselves when we see good looking men like you on the part of the month. But,
yeah.
But I got along with him, you know.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, and, but we've never done any more like that. And I would like to have done more, you know.
Yeah.
But the Lord knows it's always good. You know.
So that was like, what year, 77? Or?
Oh, no, that was later. That was in the 80s.
Oh, no wonder. So people were more accepting.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, they accept gay life more. Like, even here in the building, there's more gays besides me.
Yeah.
So, but you don't push it down people's throats.
No, no, no.
You know, and one of the reasons I'm moving out here is for medical reasons, but I want to be closer because I like to go and socialize and I like to drink.
Yeah.
There's no place here. I'm cut off, you know.
Yeah, there's like no bar.
Well, there's one over on Engle Street. You got to join that for $30 a year.
Resolute.
Yeah, I've been in that Resolute. You know, I don't was like no, but no, but I'm used to the North End. I like to socialize, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh. So, other than that, I've had a wonderful life. You know.
Good stuff. Yeah. How did you get along with drag kings, lesbian drag kings?
I had a very good friend, Hazel Blair.
Oh, yeah.
She said, Jesus Christ, Ginger, you can fucking out-drink anybody. She said, I tried to out-drink you. And she said, I told my mother. She said, I can't, Mom, she said, you wouldn't believe it. That's how you can drink all night, get up the next day and go to work, and never look like you drank. I said, girl, see, her and I got like that, and I had other friends that, you know, they were lovers. I always got along with the lesbians, you know.
Good.
You know, they're very similar in words, but I mean, I just said, well, you know, you like what you like, I like what I like, and goodbye, toodaloo.
Yeah.
But you got to respect people, you know.
Yeah.
Like Sandra, she knows I'm gay.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't bother her, because she's down to earth, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people talk about her, and I tell them, you better fuck off. You better fuck off. If you're talking to me, that's my buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
But like with you, I'm, you know, I've done a friendship with you.
Yeah.
You know, we're not perfect, you know. Only me, I got wings here.
No, I noticed that.
You know.
Let's fluff them
over
there.
Yeah, you know. Like Mae West used to say to Clark Gable, come up and see me when I got nothing on but the radio. But, you know, but Greg is, you know, it's part of, you know,
yeah.
But I'm not going to have operations and all that. No, no.
Yeah.
That's when problems start, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your body can accept, you know, different changes, but not your brain.
Right, yeah.
Because years years ago, even when I was younger, even before I started doing drag, I lived in Brunswick Towers. A friend of mine, he's now dead, he had a sex change, and the poor kids were confused because they had to call him Mommy and Mommy Daddy, and that was confusing for them, you know. And as the kids got older, well, him and his wife divorced, you know. Yeah, you know. But, you know, you got to accept who you are. You want to do drag, you know. You got to accept what you know. If you're bisexual, if you're, you know, if you're into men and women, you know.
Yeah. Now, out of the blue, why do you think some homosexuals are drawn to drag and others, like, not interested in that?
Well, they figure with drag, they figure a lot of drag queens are just like a lot of prostitutes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, well, my wife won't blow me, my boyfriend won't suck me or fuck me up there, and, well, excuse me, that's something you need to talk over with your partner, you know.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't knock people anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if a woman's prostituting, well, there's a reason or reasons for it.
Yeah.
But you don't name people and start running them down because of the reason, you know.
Yeah.
And some people like a lot of sex.
Yeah.
And I found out years ago, through the medical, if a man is born with a white liver, he's horny all the time. Well, you know, part of life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but not just the gay people, just straight people are had a sex with. They're right quick to jump.
Yeah.
So,
do you think it's ignorance or prejudice or both?
Well, some think that they know it all. But my aunt used to say, do not, if you live in a glass house, don't throw stones.
Yeah.
Because people make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and some people are just to think, well, I got a cock between my legs, you know. Believe you me, I've seen a lot of cocks in my day, dear. Probably see a lot more before I leave the world. But today, no. They don't know what it's, you know, it's slam bang and that's it, you know. I met a gentleman, I've got a friend here in the building here where I live, Leslie's her name.
Yeah.
We go down once a month, and we have a ball down there for the new rumors, and I know the owner, he said last week, he said, Ginger, I met you, he said, well, not Facebook. I said, yeah, what about it? Nicely. He said, I went through every gay club in Halifax with Facebook. He said, and you're, I said, well, naturally, well, I would not be there. I'm a beauty dear. And he said, you're an angel. He said, he keeps kissing me. And he said, there's no bar service. You don't pay nothing when you come in here and you pay bar service, which they don't have, but I get it, you know.
Yeah.
And we have a good time, you know, and the bouncer and everything. And the first time I went, the bouncer, the staff, I don't know, they're very respectful, and they're right there, you know. And the bouncer said to me when we were coming up, it was still the later part of the summer, he said, Ginger, I never met this man. Do you know how to take care of a man? I said, yeah. And I said, do you know how to cook? I said, listen, honey, I know how to cook, and I know how to do everything, take care of a man. And the people up there, and he clapped his head and said, God damn, that's the kind of woman I want. And my friend Leslie said, now look, Ginger, I'm all dressed up, you're all dressed up, and yeah, you still get a fucking man pick you up. What happened to me? I said, must be your perfume, dear. But she lives in the building where we live, and she's my buddy, too.
Yeah.
And we could talk, and she has daughters that are gay.
Yeah.
But she's down to earth, you know.
Good
too. And I could talk. Well, with you,
okay.
I'm very relaxed because you can say what you want, you know, but people, you know, like, Spencer hosts, boy, that's my second home, because I told them three ladies, don't tell me to go outside, because I said I don't have to go outside. What's wrong with you? You guys don't know how to speak, and you're all in your 70s and 80s. Now, fuck off. And I thought I'd be reported, but I wasn't. But they knew I was right, because you get into a room even here. Because I mind the heat as we get older, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And that's why I'm, another reason why I want to move, I want to be near the clubs, you know. Because I'm not dead yet.
Yeah.
And Sandra, she knows all about Sunrise, because she lived there, so there'll still be, you know, she the door is open for her, you know.
Good stuff.
You know, if I can get her back up there, look out, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to look after one another, you know.
Now, one thing I noticed when I used to go to the tour in the 70s, I started in 75. until the end, but I didn't always live in town. But I noticed that every class in Halifax was there, the upper class, the lower class, once the Kennedy kids showed up. Did you notice this kind of mix of classes?
Well, a lady lives here in the building, and she worked at Paradise, which became Stonewall after a while.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Paradise.
Where was this at?
Down on Hollis Street.
Oh.
It was Paradise Restaurant and Hollis Street Tavern.
Yeah.
And there was only a wall between it. So this was years later. And when I came 16 and my brother, my mother took us to that restaurant to have dinner and have beer, you know, because we were allowed to drink then, and you know, was an adult. And I'll tell you, when I went back there, brought a lot of memories, you know. But I noticed some people going nuts with their nose up in the air. And I said to myself, I'll tell you a story.
Yeah.
And this was supposed to be husband and wife. And Stella, that's what we call Steve, Hurdle. I used to call her Stella. She came over. She said, Ginger, I was cooking that night. I used to work part-time. She said, you see that table? I said, yeah. I said, you're going to have trouble with that table. She said, why? She said, well, she already complained about the knife not being straight. I said, just don't lose your cool. I said, watch her. I said, I'm in the kitchen, but I can see. And then we're going from, you know. I said, you got to watch her. I said, she's gonna have two drinks, then she's going to get up loud and rowdy. And then she will be put out. She said, okay. An hour later, Ginger, can you come out the kitchen if you're not too busy? I said, okay. Now, this woman was all dressed up right nice. You should have seen the look of her nose an hour and a half later. The hair was all down, the lipstick was all smoked. And she called him everything but her husband, everything but his name. I said, I'm sorry, dear, you're going to have to finish it. And who the fuck are you? I said, I'm the manager. Oh, you are? I said, yes. And I said, I'm going to tell you nicely. You swear one more time, you're fired from here. And you will be taken out by the police. She went to say something. I said, I wouldn't. And you best put your hand up because I will charge you. And out of the blue, two police officers came and I said, I want this lady removed. I apologize to her. I said, he said, well, I'm her husband. I said, well, I do apologize, but I said, if you were wise, you want to get rid of her. But that's your decision. You married her.
Yeah.
But she's not coming back to this restaurant.
Yeah.
So anyway, they took her. And Peter, he was supposed to be the owner of the club, which he was, and his girlfriend was. But Peter could be a complete arsehole. Now, you're running the business. You got to watch your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
Whether it's a gay bar or not. And he used to sit up in the middle part of the bar drinking cheap wine and smoking expensive cigars. Now, there's something wrong with this picture, you know. If you got money for expensive cigars, why are you drinking cheap wine?
Yeah.
Okay. He said to me, he said, I got an issue with you. And I said, is that right? And he referred to, I said, listen, those kind of customers you don't need because you lose your business. And I said, furthermore, I found out you don't have no say in this club. Your girlfriend does. I said, now you best back off or you can take your job and stick it. You know? So anyway, that was okay. So things carried on. And when I worked Thursdays and Fridays, there was one man there, he was handsome, Jim was his name. I said, I'm going to marry you, you know, because he was so nice. He was like, you know, polite, very thoughtful, very helpful, and considerate. So there was a time, and I used to sell sandwiches on the weekend. So, but prior to that, I went in one afternoon, and Chris was the manager, and Chris was a lot younger than I was back then, but he had his eye on me.
What was Chris's last name?
I can't remember his last name. He was from New Brunswick. And he said, Ginger, we got no hot water. No, Stella said to me, we got no hot water. I said, what do you mean you got no hot water? Well, the hot water, he was not working. Well, I said, oh, for God's sake, let me go in there. So I went in, and I had to go to the bathroom, so I come out, and I said, oh, for heaven's sake, it's a gas water heater. Anybody got a lighter? I said, I'm going to blow the place up. I said, we'll see how the fruits can fly. And I was sober when I said it. That was even more surprising. So I got the hot water here going. And that was the talk for months and months. They said, that's pretty good. Drag Queen Ginger comes in here and has to show a bunch of fucking masked men how to get a hot water here going. I just thought it was a penis here. I prayed the Lord don't blow it up. And then, but then getting back, Peter called me in the office one day. And I had to go up a flight of stairs. I said, Peter, and it was in the summertime, it was hot. I said, what's wrong now? He said, well, I was told that you were stealing money. Oh, I said, oh, is that lovely? Mm-hmm. I said, why? Who told you? I said, I know who told you. It was one of your staff, because I caught one of your staff stealing money out of the cash register. Mm. So don't put the blame on me. And he said, I said, you know, I would sell sandwiches on the weekend, $3. Because when people are drinking, they don't want to have to leave and go all over Halifax look for something to eat. I know I've done it myself.
Yeah.
And I said, but anyway, you deal with it. But I said, I'll deal with your girlfriend. Well, there'll be no more sandwiches made here. I said, no problem. But your money's in the till, but you know, so.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name. Her name was Patricia.
Yeah.
So she happened to come in later on that day, and I said, if you're not busy, I'd like to see you in the kitchen.
Mm.
And anyway, I told her what went on. Is that right? She said, Ginger, you continue to sell sandwiches, as many as you can, and she said, I'll give you a special can to put the money in. Because I said, your boyfriend is going to ruin this business for you. Well, I got news for him. Because I said, he doesn't want to be here. He wants to be in New Brunswick. But he knows he can't do it because it's your business.
Yeah.
And her and I were very good until the place closed. But as time went on, they got Peter out of it because he was too rude.
It's not smart, yeah.
And he had a bunch of people pack him one night.
Yeah.
Because it was moved.
Now, how did the AIDS crisis impact the drag community?
Well, I worked at the Abbey Lane.
Oh, yeah.
And homosexual was a hush-hush subject.
Yeah.
And Graham Ellis was a very good friend of mine. And I knew his lover, Robert, and I knew Robert from years ago because I cruised him.
Yeah.
You know, my girl didn't cruise here. You know. So anyway, he went out, and it came around later on that he had died. Mm. He died of AIDS. He was only 30 years of age, which was very sad because he was a very nice looking man.
Now, when you were at the Abbey Lane, what years was that? What was your job?
That was nursing.
Oh, yeah. So you had to get some nursing training then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I came back. It was an RN anyway.
Oh.
But my first eight patients was at the BG in 81.
Oh, yeah.
I was on 8A. I was working through an agency, which was RJF Limited, and Ruby Felix was my boss, and that was the only agency that would look after gay people.
Uh-huh.
That's what other agents at that time were very, didn't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You know. So, I had two patients, one I knew, you know. So, halfway through the night, I heard four RNs out by the door. Didn't call them by name, just said, well, got four egg bastards in there. You know, they're ruined society and all that. And I got annoyed.
Mm.
And I went up to the one of them. I said, excuse me, I don't like what you said. Mm. Well, who are you? I said, well, I'm a gay man, a gay person, but I don't like what you said about these people. You're an RN, you know, you're supposed to have compassion and understanding.
Yeah.
Anyway, they didn't like what I said, so when I left in the morning, before I left, I wanted to see the supervisor.
Yeah.
When I spoke to the supervisor, I said, one of them is my friend.
Yeah.
But I said, they're all human.
Yeah.
You know. She said, thank you, Steve. She said, and I'll make sure, she said, it's up to you, to give you one more shifts here through the hospital, through the agency, which they have to use RJF Limited. And those four ends were fired.
Uh-huh.
They were fired. Yeah, you see. And that was terrible, you know. Which it's very hard for the families to accept, you know. Because a lot of families say they don't know their son or their daughter was gay or bisexual or lesbian, because they never told them. Because everything back then was hush hush.
Yeah.
And I always used to say to my mother, you guys live in the dark ages, you know. Mom said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you're married, if your husband tells you the sky is a different color and you know it's not, you're going to get a punch in the nose. I said, not with you, Mom, because you know how to handle yourself, you know. And she said, well, I grew up in a hard life because my grandfather, my mother's father, he was a very strict man.
Yeah.
Plus, he was a bootlegger,
okay.
You know, and he was free with the hand, you know. You know, but it's changing, but it's well, the drag, they have to do it, like I say, well, of course, it's on TV, which knows to make money. But again, the young people today, they don't seem to understand the consequences. Same with the thing we just had now, the virus.
Oh, you know? The COVID thing.
COVID, you know.
Yeah.
And it was sad.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, which is still alive, he went to, this was last summer, he went to the manager at Sobeys at Spryfield because all the masks were thrown all around, which is contagious.
Yeah.
The manager said it wasn't his job. And I've known that man for 30-something years, you know, and he has no problem with sexuality, he just tells the gay people, keep your hands to yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And some of my friends, and he called the head office of Sobeys in Spryfield, and that manager was spoken to. Even here, you see masks, that stuff controls.
Oh, the needles and the sharps.
The needles, the masks, you know. And only
the masks.
Yeah, they were all over the ground. And they shouldn't be. They had a can. But the manager should have saw one of their staff go out with the proper things on to pick up those masks. Because it's still laying there, but it's all going through the air, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did this and did that. So, well, things that happened years ago are now coming back. It's called, you know, what they say, you know. It's sad, you know. Yeah, and right in here you see the same, you know. They used to spit up in front of the door and everything, Hawker and everything else. And my lived with my buddy, the cleaning lady, I got to know her. And I said, you need to speak to the property manager because you shouldn't have to go out there and do that. That's not your job.
Yeah.
But she spoke to the property manager, which was Corey, and his boss. And they were told, if you continue doing that, you're going to get a warning. Your next warning, you're going to be asked to move. Because it is dangerous, you know.
Yeah.
You know, with the COVID, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Like they say, karma's a bitch. When goes around, comes around. And there's a lot of people in this building. A lot have been here too long, but they have an awful attitude with life.
Yeah.
And with themselves, because they've never dealt with whatever was bothering them.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. You know, and I met a lot of men in here. I'd put them on an island and forget about them because they're nasty.
Yeah.
And you can tell they've been like that all their life.
Yeah.
That's all I see them. You know, because I mean, I worked with the Abbey over 2 years, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you ever meet some clergymen during your years in the drag community?
Not the drag. Well, yes, I did. Yes, this would be about 4 years now.
Yeah,
I used to go to Barton Spot and Barton called Sullivan's, and I knew the owner. Even though he moved away, Denise became very good friends. Denise, and she's the manager. I go over one night, I call my friend Jack, said, come on, what's wrong? I said, I'm in a party mood, come on, let's go. So we'll go to Sullivan's. And it was dead, the place was dead.
Yeah.
Denise said, Ginger, I'm so glad to see you. I said, Jesus, where's everybody at tonight? Is they all home playing straight life, mixed life, or whatever? And 1 hour, Darren, that bar was packed. I said, Jesus, what's going on? Denise said, they found out you were here, so they told Jesus Christ, Ginger's here, we're never going to party. And we had, and we left, we were supposed to leave early, but we left late. And she said, I'm telling the owner, she was happy. I said, you smile, go, Jesus Christ, Ginger, I made $400 tips tonight, she said. And could you come back tomorrow? I said, well, the weekend we'll probably back till Monday. But and the owner, Fred, he was something else, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was one Halloween we all dressed up.
I know. Okay.
And he was the Pope, and I was the drag. He said to me, "Yeah."
I know. I'll be in at the end of the month to the end of this month and renew my internet thing. Okay.
Okay.
Just to let you know, I didn't know if anybody would be here or not.
No, he's coming back from Africa. So.
Okay.
So,
all right, thank you.
So anyway, he was a colored gentleman, and he was a minister.
Oh.
He was nice looking.
Do you remember some city councilors that played both sides of the street and said that they were anti-gay?
I've never met any, you know, I've met a few, but I've never heard of sexuality.
Yeah.
But this fellow, he said, and my other lady friend, her name was Crystal. She said, well, what a hump that is. I said, never you mind. You sit at that bar, mind your business, because he don't want you, he wants me. We're just talking like girl talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And he come over, he said, are you Ginger? It's like two hours later. I said, yeah. He said, you know, I've had my eye on you for some time. Well, I said, I don't know. I said, what are we going to do? I said, am I going to finally see what's under the cloth? Man of God. He took the left, but he was after me. He wanted a relationship, because he said, I never laughed so much in my life, he said, where I'm in the ministry. You have to be careful. And I'll tell you another story. The Mormon ministers.
Oh, really? No, I'm shocked.
My mother was a journeyman's cook. Anyway, I was living up here in Cove Road, just up from the Rotary.
Yeah.
And every second Friday, when I got paid, I used to get my business taken care of and my liquor.
Mm.
I had two of them show up this night, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
They were nice looking.
Yeah.
So they were sitting talking, and then I gave them tea, and they didn't drink, you know.
Mm.
So my doorbell rang, it was my mother. And I said, come on in. So when they're sitting there talking, I said, no, Mom, I'll make you a snack, and then I'll go back and talk to them. She said, okay. So we're in there talking, and I asked one, I said, you can't have sex till you're married.
Right.
So what do you do when, you know, you're human? What do you do when you get the urge, you know, do you take medication or what? And I wasn't expecting. My mother said, they're too fucking busy masturbating. You should have seen the look on their face.
Yeah.
I said, well, sorry, but I said, she told like it was. Mom said, well, yeah. You know, Mom said, you got a ham, haven't you?
What? How did it go with them?
They got up and left, so I never saw them for about a month.
No.
I said, Mom said, well, they're in there, you know, the one of you wanted to ask any questions. She said, well, I just told them. They're masturbating. So a month later they came back, and I took them down to Reflection.
Oh, yeah.
One went home with a drag queen, I never saw the owner after that. So I said, well, I guess your sex life is taken care of. Nearby, and Reflections was another club. Oh, my.
What did you think of Reflections?
Well, Reflections was
what were the years for Reflections? I was out of town at the time, so I don't know.
Oh, it was late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And it's down on the corner. They were on the corner of Baron Sackville.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, Robert, the manager, said to me, just any time you want to come here, you let me know, and you don't have to wait in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. So this was, say a year later or something, in the summertime. So I was drinking as usual on the weekend. So I said to my two friends, Terry and Levi, who were lovers, come on. I spoke with down Reflections. I said, I ain't going home yet. Fucking Thriveview was dead.
Yeah.
Fairview was even deader.
Mm.
So I get down to Down Reflections, and the lineup was from the front door right past the old Barrington Theater.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway, security guard comes out. How are you tonight, Ginger? And I put 6-7 people behind me. I said, the cherry and Levi, don't pay no mind to them dizzy ones. They wouldn't know reality if I hit them in the head. So I said, is Robert working? Well, let me check, he said. And I said, he's the manager, blah, blah, blah. And I said, not even 20 minutes later, the two doors flew open, Reflection. And they rolled on a red carpet. Come on, Ginger. The Queen, you're allowed in, Queen. So I said, come on, Jerry. So the other one, the guy, the security guard said, no, you're not allowed. You don't have a VIP pass. Uh-huh. Well, who do you think you are? I said, well, I just told you. I'm Ginger, the drag queen here. Look, I'm the queen of the homosexual world. But I wasn't saucy. So I said to the security, I said, just let them sit in. I said, so they came in and they said, we owe you an apology. I said, well, you got to know how to talk to people. Don't be ignorant. And I met them several times after that. And they said, Ginger, we didn't think we were going to get in that night. I said, well, if you had been nasty, you would end up in a lockup, because I know a lot of people, whether they're drag or not, But I had a lot of married men hit on me over the years. And it was tempting, but
You don't like dickering with married men?
Oh, I've had affairs with them.
Yeah.
I met a man years when I was in my late 20s. And he owned property over in, very nice gentleman. Mm-hmm. He owned property over in Dartmouth Crystal Place.
Yeah.
And I was going to move in there. He was going to give me an apartment. I met his wife.
Yeah.
But she had medical problems. Uh-huh. But she knew, she was fine with that. Uh-huh. I wasn't living with them.
Yeah.
So, forget where I was living. I was on Tobin Street.
Oh, yeah.
And he was leaving after we had our romantic few hours, And I said, okay. I said, and it was quite early. I said, you wouldn't mind taking me down to Reflection, the church.
Yeah.
Well, I could see the change in his face, I said, oh, yeah, here's going to be problems. So he said, okay, I'll take you now. I said, no, I can get a taxi. I said, in the summertime, I can walk. So anyway, he took me down, and we pulled up in front of the church. The moat was gone. Don was his name. I said, Don, thank you for taking me down to the club, but do me a favor. Fuck off. What do you mean? You hear what I said? Fuck off. I'm not moving over the way with you, and I don't want nothing to do with you, because I didn't like when I spoke about going to the club.
Yeah.
I said, you're too secretive. I said, I'm not going to go in there and blab everybody that I'm going with you, But I didn't like your attitude. I said, and to me, you're possessive, and I don't like that. And he went his own way. Mm-hmm. But he tried for a while, and I wouldn't bother with him.
Did you ever go to Shivago's? You remember Shivago's? It was kind of a hot club, but it didn't last long.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where it was. I can't remember. We're talking about that.
Ralph Barrington, but I forget.
Yeah, I'm trying to
think. It was a really nice venue, but
it didn't last very long, And of course, Studios came along, which was on Barrington.
Oh, I didn't tell us about that.
Which used to be the Scotia Bank.
Oh, yeah.
And Fred owned it, but there was another one that opened up in Scotia Square, called Fantasius. Prior to that, it was called Mary's Lunch, anyway.
Oh, I never heard of that.
Anyway, I go down there this night, and there was Joe, what's his last name? It was Joe and his friend, or his partner, or business partner. I said, listen, you two want to make money? I said, yeah. Well, get a permit. I said, a special permit, and open this club on a Good Friday, and I can tell you, you'll make more money in this one night than you'll ever make all the time you're here. Joe Freeman. Mm. And he was about your height.
Yeah.
So anyway, I go down later on, and the place was packed.
Mm.
But I just made outside because I knew how to get in, you know.
Yeah.
I guess I could go into the mall, but, you know. So he came to me and said, "Ginger, thank you." It was several hours later.
Yeah.
And then I go, "Well," he said, "you're one on the phone." So it was my partner. Mm. I said, "Jesus, where did you come from?" I was living in Spring, and then he was living in Dartmouth. And I said, "Yeah." So I told him, I said, "Now, if you're coming here, don't act up, because I'm not going to be embarrassed by your foolishness."
Yeah.
Because the way you go on with your drink. So anyway, it was okay. So Fred came to me and he said, or Joe said to me, "Ginger, thank you."
Mm.
He said, "You were right." Well, I said, "I know." I said, "I've been living in Halifax all my life. I know what the days are like. And I know what they like to drink and know where to go to drink, you know, to enjoy themselves." So after that, any time I went in there, I never had to pay for any drinks.
Yeah. Did you ever go to The Club across from the Turk? The Club? It was in a Green Lantern building.
Oh. Well, the first is that, well, see, this is how... The first gay club was, I thought it was down on Lower Water Street.
Yeah.
And it went from there after the episode with the 13 tribe.
Oh, yeah.
But that was like a cattle barn. Because you had to go to the third floor,
yeah.
One big room,
yeah.
All black walls with the purple light. No, nowhere to hang your coat, but
right.
Just through the corner. And they come in and starts going on, la la la. And there was 10, 13 tribe members.
Oh.
Terry Martin and myself, we got out, but we saw, and there was about 5 or 6 gays, and those 13 tribe just tore the clothes off them and raped them, you know, had their way with them. Well, I said to Terry, I said, "Well, at least it wasn't us," but I said, "It's not right," but at the same time, a lot of those gays were ignorant of those places. The bikers, they wouldn't bother you. They wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't harm you. But it was a nasty scene. But I, you know, but I'll tell you.
Did you ever go to the Heidelberg restaurant?
Oh, Jesus, yes. The table of the Heidelberg.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this is how it started. There was a club down on Lower Water Street.
Yeah.
Then it moved from there down to the old Surf Building Club, which is now gone. Right before they built Brunswick Towers.
Oh.
Then it went from there to the Green Lantern Building on the third floor.
Uh-huh.
And 2 years later, Condon, whatever,
yeah.
He opened one on the second floor.
Uh-huh.
Tom Burns had a bookstore on the second floor where he sold dirty books and poppers. I was into poppers. I loved the poppers.
Mm-hmm.
I could dance like a whore on a hill. Anyway, then studios opened.
Oh.
And then Dirt was open, studios, then Reflection.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it was something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like the Heidelberg.
Yeah, the Heidelberg, yeah.
The Heidelberg, when you went up, was a restaurant downstairs.
Yeah.
You went upstairs, it was a plumbing supply store.
Uh-huh.
Plumbing supplies on that side, bar up that way. So I can't think of his name. They're both dead now, him and his wife.
Yeah.
Anyway, Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm telling you. So anyway, my friend Bobby Reed, who's not that dumb. "Come on, Ginger." I said, "Okay." So we're up there. And we go up this night, and they were having a hockey tournament.
Oh. What year was that?
Oh, geez, that was what?
I think
around 80, 81.
Okay.
I said, "Well, we're not going to get in there tonight." Well, they said, "Well, yeah, this part is open. That part was closed."
Yeah.
Private party. Well, they had, by that time, they removed all the plumbing supply.
Yeah.
I said, "God, a girl can get lucky there. If she needs rubber, all she do is grab one of the rubbers from the box there." Anyway, so there was a hockey tournament. And they were nice looking men, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm up dancing by myself, singing. I was in drag,
Yeah.
Man, come down. I come to the washroom. He said, "Are you Ginger?" I said, "Yeah, I think I am." He said, "Well, I want to have a drink with you." And he was a looker.
Yeah.
I mean a looker. I said, "Okay." I'm sitting down there. "No, you and your friend come up to my table." So Oh, I said, okay, come on, Bobby. Up we went. We were sitting there. And I was thinking, well, I'll sit there. He said, no, you sit next to me. I said, no, your girlfriend. I ain't worried about that. He said, you are sitting next to me. I said, okay. And I was getting the dirty looks from her.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I told her, this is how a lady acts. You don't know how to act like a lady.
Yeah.
Because he said, you get drunk and you're a slob.
Yeah.
And he said, no, he said, here's what a lady looks like.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I stayed and had a few drinks with him. And then he said to me, no, I said, no, I'm not starting no relationship with you, even though you're good looking. You got a girlfriend there, or you're whatever your plans are, you know.
Yeah.
You got to respect her.
Yeah.
And she thanked me, you know. And then I got up and left, but, you know. Then I met Ada McCullough.
Oh.
Well, my aunt knew Ada McCullough because she had the Morris Lunch on Barron Street, which where the Royal Bank used to be.
Yeah.
It's not there now. There's a apartment building there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ada comes in this night, and she was dressed, and I mean dressed.
Oh.
She had on a white seal jacket, coat, I should say. She just took that off, flung it on the back of the chair,
yeah,
where we were sitting, the booth.
Yeah.
And someone said, your coat, oh, it's on your coat, it's just old rag, the hell with that. But she was down there, so I got to talk with her for a while, and she told me about her business and all that, and I said, oh, yeah. But she was a fantastic lady.
Yeah.
And my aunt worked for it, not in the business, you know.
Yeah.
Not that I know of, but anyway. Yeah, and she her girls are well looked after.
Yeah.
And there was a iron hall on the corner of Hollis and Bishop, and that's where she used to have her business, plus in her home. But her girls were very clean, you know.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And she had the different categories.
Oh.
Low, high, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And her business went from Halifax to Boston and back.
Really?
And she knew she had quite a few the Bears, the MLAs here in Halifax. So I said, well, if their husbands don't know where they're at now, or their wives, they'll know where they're at now. You know, but like she said, I was a young girl. She said, my husband left me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a child. I had no work experience. So she said, I had to sell myself. See, and then again, people didn't realize the situation back then.
Yeah.
She didn't do it because she wanted to.
Yeah.
She had to survive somehow,
right,
you know. And she said everything went well, and I met the right people, you know. But she said I had trouble along the way with, you know, people being nasty and that, you know.
Yeah.
But I find the people that are nasty, that run that type of business down, or gay people, they're the first ones you got to watch, because they're the ones that want to jump on your body.
Isn't that something?
That's true.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And I met Trudeau.
Oh, how so?
Well, I lived in Ottawa, but in Ottawa for a while with my lover.
Oh, yeah.
And Trudeau.
When was that?
That was in the 80s, mm-hmm. early 80s.
Okay.
83, 84.
Okay.
And I tell you, that was a partier. That man was a partier.
Uh-huh.
And I worked in a nursing home. Two nursing homes.
Yeah.
And I met him as a prime minister, and I met him when he wasn't a prime minister.
Because
he had an aunt that was in a nursing home on Carlton Avenue.
Yeah.
And every second Saturday, you'd see Trudeau get out with the limo, sweatshirt on, blue jeans, and sneakers. And he would talk to everybody, and he'd work with us and help with us. And he used to say, please don't address me as Mr. Trudeau. Call me Pierre.
Yeah.
And remember, I'm not working today. I'm not a prime minister today. And then I used to run a newspaper.
Yeah.
And then they had a thing at the Civic Center. And I met him, and I met Maggie. And Maggie was something else. She was a lady, I tell you. Well, to me she was, because she spoke her mind. And she wrote two books.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost them. The first book, well, everything, but there was an article in it where she lived at 24th Sussex Drive.
Yeah.
She said, and she was telling me the story. She said, Ginger, I decided, fuck, I'm going to wallpaper the fucking dining room.
Yeah.
So, she said, I had a few drinks, she said, I got the car and away I went, she said, and I went down to Wilco. That's when they had Wilco.
Yeah.
I said, well, that must be something to see the Prime Minister's wife in the Wilco. She said, whether I'm his wife or not, she said, that's still me, you know. So anyway, she bought the wallpaper. And in the book, they call an emergency meeting.
No.
I don't have any walls, she wallpapered.
No.
She said, did you? They're having an emergency meeting, she said. And the best part, and I told you to call Trudy, call her husband Trudy. Trudy, come here. What's this all about?
Hi there.
First of all,
what are you doing in here, you guys?
Anyway,
I just came home from the doctor's store. Did you? Oh, I wish I'd known.
She said, that's the best for having an emergency meeting. And I'm spending my own fucking money. Now fuck off. Then she went another time to a big family do gathering.
Yeah.
And there was nine people there, whatever it was. And she said, what are you dizzy bastards looking for? She was drinking, like she said. I always drink at these functions. And she said, I told these nine people, what the fuck are you doing here? You're looking for a free meal. That was on Parliament Hill. She was down. And I met her son, Michael, the one that drowned when he went to
St. Andrew. And I can't clean it no matter what I do.
But the other son, not the one now, not Ruder now, the other son, Josh, he was a spitting image of his father, Harvey. And then I found out that Barbara Streisand used to go with Trudeau, and she had a baby from him. I don't know whether it was a boy or a girl, but yeah. I have met quite a few. Yeah, I said, well, even the ones in Parliament, they're confused about their second.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Well, how about if we stop there and we'll make a time for.
Yeah.